Well, we are going to begin a short Bible study right now, but before we do, we like to pray, and I would like you to pray together, and I'll call out a Hebrew phrase and then the English, and I'll ask you to repeat after me. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu, b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu, la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. We like to begin like that because it's a way of focusing ourselves on God's eternal word and the power that he has, the fact that God has called us to engage ourselves spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally with his word. Well, this weekend, there are a lot of different themes that you could look at in the Torah and the Haftorah portions, and one of them is leprosy, and we're not going to look at that this week. At least I'm not going to. And there may be others who do, but I want to look at something else. I want to talk a little bit about what to do when you have strong faith but meager resources. Some of you may be in that situation. And in the Haftorah portion, the prophet's portion, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42, we see a really interesting situation where Elisha is wanting to feed people, but there's not enough to go around. It says, then a man came from Baal Shalisha, and he brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread. So let me just ask you, see if you're paying attention. How many loaves? 20 loaves. And newly ripened grain in his knapsack, and he said, give it to the people so that they may eat. But his servant said, what? Can you say that with me? What? Shall I set this before 100 men? It's 20 loaves of bread for 100 hungry men. And Elisha said, give it to the people so that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have leftovers. They shall eat and have leftovers. Say that with me. They shall eat and have leftovers. There are times when the need is greater than the resources. But often during those times, the vision is as great as the need. And not only that, but the compassion, the desire to serve is as great as the need. You may be in situations where you don't have enough except in your faith, in your compassion, in your willingness, but you may not have all that you need to give to others. Elisha was not hindered by that. He said, not only will they eat, they will have leftovers. They will have leftovers, not just enough for themselves, but there will be more than enough when everything is finished. Verse 44, so he set it before them, and they ate, and they had leftovers, according to the word of the Lord. Now, some people don't like leftovers, but in this case, believe me, it felt like a miracle because it was. Now, you'll notice that in the life of Elisha, in the life of Elijah, many miracles take place that are similar to the miracles of Yeshua. What's interesting is Yeshua's miracles are bigger, better, and more clear to us about what they are all about. So if you can turn to Mark chapter 8, you'll see a situation where Yeshua has 4,000 people to feed. How many did Elisha have? 100. And he had how many loaves of bread? 20. Okay, so five people, one loaf, right? Okay, Mark chapter 8, verse 1. During those days, another large crowd gathered, and since they had nothing to eat, Yeshua called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. See, those are his first words. This helps you understand everything. Often the first words open your understanding to the key. And sometimes words that are repeated again and again are a way that the scripture establishes a key. But here the first words are most important. I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. And his disciples answered, they should have just said, what? Right? That would have been a good response, just like Elisha's servant. But they said, where in this remote place could anyone get enough bread to feed them? Where? We are so far out of town. How on earth could someone get enough bread to feed these people? And Yeshua asked them a simple question. How many loaves do you have? And they answered, seven. Okay, seven. Elisha had 20 at his disposal. Yeshua had seven. Well, he told the crowd to sit down on the ground. And when he'd taken the seven loaves and given thanks, he broke them. And he gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. Now, I want to just underline something. The Greek is really clear about what Yeshua did. He took the loaves, and he gave thanks. The way you give thanks in Jewish tradition is you thank God. And you thank him by blessing him. The opening words of so many Jewish prayers start in what way? Baruch atah Adonai, which means blessed are you, O Lord. And so you bless the Lord. So the Jewish custom is you bless the Lord. You don't bless the food. You bless God as a way of saying, Lord, you're the provision for the good thing we're about to have, and we acknowledge you and we thank you for this. So it says that Yeshua gave thanks. In some translations, it says he blessed. Now, in some English translations, they add stuff in where they put things that aren't in the actual text, and it says he blessed the bread. But he did not bless the bread. He made a bracha, a blessing, over the bread. He gave thanks. Then he broke the loaves, and he gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. Verse 7, now they had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also. And he told the disciples to distribute them. So this is like the precursor to Jewish lox and bagels. One day we'll be eating like that. And so it says in verse 8, the people ate and were satisfied. But look at verse 7 one more time. They had a few small fish as well. And he gave thanks for them also, and he told the disciples to distribute them. Now, do you understand that the disciples didn't think there was enough? And do you know why they thought that? Because there wasn't enough. And they were just being objective. How many of you can be objective when there's not enough? How many of you can be objective when you see problems ahead? It's easy sometimes, isn't it? You see the problem, you see the challenge, you say, can't be done. It's impossible. And many times when we feel like that, we're not even in the mood to give thanks to God, are we? We're hardly in a position or a state of mind where we want to thank him. Usually we just want to whine. God, there's not enough. And I can imagine that some of Yeshua's disciples were a little bit irritated. Why is he making us distribute this stuff? He knows there's not enough. Why is it that he puts us in that position? But interestingly, the scriptures are silent about that. Despite human nature and despite what we know about the way that they thought and acted like normal human beings, the scripture just says, that he told the disciples to distribute them. And then verse 8, the people ate. And what does it say next in your translation? They were satisfied. They were actually satisfied. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. So how many loaves did they start with? And how many basketfuls did they end up with? And so they fed everybody with what? Nothing. And somehow nothing became everything. And they used what they had in obedience to something. It wasn't just in obedience to the word of the Lord. There was something else at work here. It was compassion. Yeshua said, I have compassion. And I think his disciples learned something. When he has compassion, don't try to argue with him. Don't try to stop him. When he has compassion, it's time to just do what he says in order to see things happen. You see, people were healed when Yeshua had compassion. People were delivered when he had compassion. And people were fed when he had compassion. He had good news constantly for people who had bad news, for people who did not have enough. And that's why he stood up. Yeshua stood up in the synagogue one day, reading from the Haftorah, from Isaiah 61, which the dance was centered around earlier tonight. And he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has anointed me. He has equipped me. He has empowered me. He has enabled me. He has given me what I need to give for them. And Yeshua said, that's good news. The people ate. They were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. What if the disciples had given everything out, but they never went back to see how it went? They never would have known there was extra. But by going back around, they were probably moved themselves with great compassion and with great joy. Verse 9, about 4,000 men were present. 4,000 people, 7 loaves of bread. Isn't that incredible? These two passages teach us something. They teach us that our resources are usually not enough, and yet God's resources are always great. We sometimes can only dedicate our meager resources to God, and he is able. We have to hold on to something, though, and that is the desire that's burning in us. Yeshua had that desire to feed, and he did not allow the circumstances of his lack to stop him from feeding. And so I would say to you, there's compassion rising up in you, and that you can be certain you can express and be effective in. And I want to encourage you, continue in your desires. Maybe you have a desire to feed people, maybe to feed more people. God will give you the resources. Hold on to your vision. But more than anything, hold on to your compassion. And don't let either the vision or the compassion die in the face of need. When Sandy and I lived overseas, we worked in the former Soviet Union for many years. And one of the things that really touched us was the personal hygiene. And there was a time when the Soviet Union broke up and communism just lost its hold, that those who were living in that area often could not even afford soap. And they did not have all the resources that they needed. As we worked and served in that area, one of the things that touched us most deeply was toothbrushes. believe it or not, because we saw that the people were really suffering for a lack of toothbrushes and toothpaste. And so the Lord put compassion in our hearts for the people in the congregations, the Messianic congregations there, that we would provide toothbrushes for them. But we understood something from talking to dental hygienists and to dentists that you have to change your toothbrush every so often. Isn't that correct? One of our friends over there, Adrian Zaid, he was quite a funny guy. He once showed me his toothbrush and he said, "My father gave me this and his father gave him this. And I will give this to my children." And he was sort of joking, but we said, okay, now here's the plan. To get a toothbrush through the congregation, you have to agree to come back in 3 months and exchange that toothbrush for a new one. And that seemed impossible. You know, why would we give a perfectly good three-month-old toothbrush, why would we turn it in? It seemed unthinkable. But in terms of getting the best results, that's really about right for people. Now, in order to do that, we needed a lot of toothbrushes. And I remember praying, "Lord, give us toothbrushes and give us toothpaste." And do you know, one person came forward who said, "My mother was a dental hygienist. We're going to get you toothbrushes." And Lisa Marsh and Corwin Marsh and their family gathered up toothbrushes, and they came to Budapest, and then we took a train to Ukraine with toothbrushes and toothpaste. I won't tell you about all the problems we had getting across the border. You can't imagine that. But we were able to distribute because one person got a heart for it and touched many. And then someone else got moved in Holland, and they came up with 10,000 toothbrushes, which we brought into the country and we distributed along with toothpaste. And we had insisted these have to be the good toothbrushes, you know, with the rounded bristles, not the ones that are really sharp and cheap and hurt your gums and teeth and, you know what I'm talking about? Not those disposable ones that aren't good for much. And I remember so many times seeing a need and knowing we can't provide for this need, we don't have enough. And yet God would put compassion in our hearts. And he would enable us to do something in a way that brought extra dignity to the people rather than made them feel like they were insufficient. When you have compassion, when you have vision, don't let these die simply because of the need that you have. Some miracles only take place in the face of great need. And what if you don't get your miracle? Don't give up. Remember what God has done before. When those disciples were wondering, can Yeshua do this? Can God provide for 4,000? They had to remember another time when he told them to feed. And when they looked back on that, they remembered and they said, he can do it. God will provide. You may be in a situation right now where you don't have enough. Don't stop. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that be the wall that you accept. Instead, look backwards and remember what God has done. Give thanks for what he's done. Acknowledge what he's done. Have you ever had not enough and he gave you more than enough? Have you ever moved from insufficiency to surplus? Have you ever had the experience of being in such need it was impossible, and then God did the impossible and gave to you? Remember that, because those memories are given to you for these times that are present when you have need and you lack resources, and yet you have compassion and vision. It's not for yourself. Yeshua wasn't saying, "I'm hungry, give me bread." He was saying, "They're hungry. Let's give them bread. I want to pray for everyone who needs power to keep going with your compassion, with your vision, with what God has entrusted to you. If you're in that condition, you can just listen to me as I pray and say amen to the Lord as I pray. Lord, I thank you that you teach us well through Elisha and through Yeshua, that you are able to give a little that turns out to be plenty, that you are able to multiply, that you call us to recognize the compassion, the mercy, the faith that you've placed in our hearts and to act on that. And you call us to serve even when the resources we have are insufficient for the need. And in this way, Lord, we humble ourselves and we acknowledge we don't have enough, but you do. We are not enough, but you are. We cannot do it, but you can. Lord, let compassion rise up and let it rise strongly in us. Let the power of faith rise up in us. Let these break through every other limitation that would try to restrain us and try to tell us to give up. We know you, Lord. You see needs and you bring good news. You see needs and you minister with compassion and mercy because you, O Lord, are merciful. And your word is mercy forever. Thank you, Lord. Renew our strength, renew our power, renew our vision that we would not allow any of these to die or even grow weak in the times ahead. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Then afterwards, we'll have an onag, and you can join together, and we can have a little fellowship and some food together. Isabella, would you come up? Don't anyone stand alone. Tomorrow, we're going to be praying for the Barnetts. They're heading out, and we want to bless them. They're going to Italy. Oh, with the Navy. You know what we say, the Navy giveth. And the Navy taketh away. Yivarechacha Adonai, v'yishmerecha. Ye'era Adonai, panavelecha v'chunecha, yisa Adonai, panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, and the Lord protect you and keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you, and give you his peace so that you might do his will. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.